Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. This is the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me, my fellow football priest, you know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, brother, Thursday is already here. It's kind of crazy. We kind of focused our mind's eye on the Chargers a couple days ago, but first things first, there's a few topics I want to get to tonight. We'll do the head-to-head and all that, but how are you feeling about this matchup, week six?
Hey, divisional matchups are always difficult. Jim Harbaugh, is a good coach. It's going to be a battle as it always is, and that defense could pose problems for the Broncos' battered O-line. But, you know, Chad, after winning three in a row, how could I really go against Denver right now? How could I go against the momentum they've built and kind of the corner that they're turning here? So they're at home. Herbert's beat up. Historically, they've done well against him. I don't think Bosa's going to play. The secondary is exploitable, even though they have some names there. I'm feeling pretty confident as long as we get the Jekyll version of the Broncos and not the Hyde version of the Broncos, or vice versa.
Well said. I think we'll get more into it tonight, guys, but I think it's going to be a rock fight because It's two excellent defenses. Justin Herbert still banged up. Bo Nix showing some steps forward last week, but can you trust it yet that it's going to be consistent? We'll get into that. But Zach, some hellos. We got the Papa Bear jumping in before we even went live, as is his way, with a show of support on Super Chat. Thank you, Papa Bear. David McElrath saying, good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Hashtag, God bless the USA. That's true. We're less than a month away from Election Day. Can't wait till that's over. Hashtag 10-7+. Let's go, Bo. SEAL Team Knicks. MHH for life. Buckham times three with a B. And Denver Broncos for life. Thank you, David. Love you, big dog. Appreciate the support. Helps us keep the lights on. It really does. Kevin Gray, what's up? Woofy Malott or Mellot? Malott, I'm going to say. Good to see you, BK. What's up, Steve Griffith? Okay, Zach. Also checking in, The Ronk on Facebook. Good evening, Chad and Zach on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go, Bo Broncos. Thank you, buddy. So good to see you. Also, I see Big Earn with us over there on Facebook. Broncos country only, big dog. We got to make a t-shirt for you, huh? All right, Zach, I got to get your thoughts on this. You had an article for us today. An anonymous GM expressed a concern to ESPN about Bo Nix, and here's the quote. Well, first of all, I'll let you explain it. We heard about this courtesy of Jeff Legwald. Break down the concern this particular GM apparently has about Bo Nix.
Yeah, so I noticed Legwald had an article like maybe previewing a potential Bo Nix breakout over the course of the rest of the season. And he talked to an opposing general manager, anonymous. We don't know who it is. I would assume it's a general manager the Broncos beat recently, but basically it was a backhanded compliment saying that he's been doing some of the things that Sean Payton's asked him. But in the middle of that was his accuracy worries you a little bit when he throws deep. And even when because he doesn't throw deep a lot, and even when he does, it's not really there, the accuracy. And so I pointed out, you know, he's maybe lower in the NFL in completion percentage, but he's middle of the pack in deep ball percentage, Chad. And he's higher in both those areas, for example, than Aaron Rodgers. Now, is there worry about Aaron Rodgers, or is there worry about Bo Nix because he's a Denver Bronco? I think this GM is basing it off of that one Jets game where it was sloppy, rainy, it was tough conditions. If you watch the Bucs game or even last week, Bo Nix. It's a night and day, markedly better quarterback, Chad.
Yeah, it's like, how do you get that version of Bo more consistently? And not to make excuses, but I think the one thing that Sean Payton continues to harp on is actually the difference maker, which is everyone around him needs to continue kind of performing the way we saw him in Tampa, the way we saw him in the second half. Because, look, I think Bo Nix is a future franchise quarterback. He's not quite there. A future franchise, or an actual franchise quarterback, that is the tide that brings the ships up, right? He raises the ships around him, but a young guy still kind of finding his way. You need those ships to kind of carry the day, so to speak. And so the better that the supporting cast performs on a week-to-week basis, including the banged-up O-line, which I want to get to here in just a minute, the better Bo Nix is going to look. But this specific quote from that GM is, quote, Nix does a lot of things how Sean wants them done. Well, I guess you did get it. You did get the quote. But downfield much, still the accuracy isn't there. I don't see that, Zach, as honestly a legitimate critique or a legitimate worry, not just because the sample size hasn't been great enough, but like last week, that drop deep shot, Troy Franklin, you could make an argument, I guess, Zach, like I understand, like if you came to me and argued that he put just a hair too much mustard on that, I'd go, well, I see why you're asserting that, but I disagree. That was a dime. It should have been caught.
It was a 60-yard rainbow that was placed perfectly, and that's what I was going to say, and that's what I said in the article. His stat line would have looked better if Franklin would have just squeezed the ball, but even so, in that game, Chad, last week, he set season highs in completion percentage, 74.4%, by the way, yards per attempt, passing touchdowns, and quarterback rating. I'm assuming Legwald talked with that GM this past week after that Raiders game. I just don't know how you come to that conclusion. It's a lazy, low-hanging fruit narrative that I thought we dispelled, Chad, after the draft, but I guess not.
True. Bugmeister, good to see you, big dog. Waiting to hear this episode. Thanks for keeping things interesting every show. Best Broncos show around. No diss to Cecil and Mace. Ha-ha. Well, hey, listen, dude, we love both those guys. Much love and respect to Cecil and Andrew Mason. And we're just grateful to have you with us, guys. Really appreciate you, Bugmeister. And, Zach, I want to turn the page here for a second to the injury situation. Obviously, we're going to get into the head-to-heads and see how the Broncos and the Chargers are matching up 6 weeks into the 2024 season. But the Broncos, let's start, Zach, with the Broncos. Injury news. You wrote about this for us yesterday. Audric Estime and Damari Mathis, who have both been on injured reserve. The Broncos started the clock on their return window, all right? And both players this week have been full participants in each practice. How do you suppose that may impact what happens on Sunday? Do you see them being promoted this week, or is that maybe a can that gets kicked down the road?
Well, with Mathis, I'm kicking that can as far as I possibly can, Chad, because Riley Moss has taken hold of that cornerback two job. You have Levi Wallace. You have Jaquan in there as well. So I'm not going to fix what isn't broken. You can wait on Mathis, who looked pretty terrible before he got hurt. With Estime, you drafted him. You had a big plan in place as maybe even Javonte's heir apparent. I'd like to work him into the mix. But even then, Jaleel and Javonte both have been playing better in recent weeks. So you're messing tinkering with that. But still, I look for Estime to play on Sunday, get promoted. I don't know who's going to get waived. It might be Blake Watson to make room for him, but I think Estime will fit right back in as an early down guy, and he just has to hold on to the football, Chad, going forward.
We also have John Franklin Myers on the injury report with a shoulder. He was limited yesterday. Fortunately, though, Thursday, full participant, so nothing, I think, to be too concerned about there. Zach Allen rested yesterday, just veteran rest day, full go today. But the concerns, Zach, really are Alex Palcheski, the starting right tackle in place of Mike McGlinchey, was a DNP yesterday, a DNP that did not participate today. And then also starting center Luke Wattenberg, both guys, of course, getting injured against the Raiders. He's also been a no-go so far this week, along with Josh Reynolds, who's nursing a hand injury. He's been available, Zach Reynolds, every game this year, but as someone who writes the injury report every Friday, he's been on it just about every week with a little something that he's nursed. But this is the first week in the case of Reynolds, Zach, where he's been straight DNP on Thursday.
Yeah, he'll need to get at least a limited tomorrow to have any chance to play on Sunday. And it would be a loss because obviously Bo Nix feels some sort of trust level with him. If he does sit, it would mean more targets for Courtland. Maybe Marvin Mims gets more involved, or maybe they bring back Vele into the, I don't understand, Chad, as kind of an aside here, not really though, what happened to Vele's playing time, the training camp preseason standout. He was getting starter snaps early in the season. I know he got hurt, but then they just phased him out for a little Jordan Humphrey and the rest. I'd like to see more of Devon Vele if Reynolds sits.
And I think that's exactly what will transpire if he does indeed sit. And it's kind of trending that way. We'll know for sure. Well, we'll know with a little bit more confidence after Friday, after tomorrow's practices. It's not always perfect. Sometimes they'll be limited or they'll be listed as DMPs and listed as doubtful for the game. And then they'll suit up, go out during warmups, feel pretty good. The coaches will give them a green light. It kind of depends on the player. But Palcheski, Zach Wattenberg, you know, just when this O-line started feeling a little bit of rhythm and a little bit of production, losing possibly two starters out of the gate here for week six, are you feeling confident in the Broncos' plan for the guys that are going to be stepping into that gap?
I mean, it's either going to be Frank Crum, who I know a lot of people are high on. I don't see it necessarily. Matt Parrott?
Yep.
Matt Parrott, who I guess filled in admirably last week. I mean, he's still a pretty inexperienced guy. It's going to be tough, man. I mean, even though Joey Bosa's banged up, Khalil Mack still is on that D-line. You have some other players in the front seven that can get after the quarterback. This is another game, Chad, where if they can get a consistent rushing attack going, it would take so much pressure off of the passing game, off of the O-line, and they have to just survive one more week until Mike McGlinchey is eligible to come off IR himself.
Ronk says, so who is going to start, right? I would guess, Zach, it's going to be Parrott. I'm going to guess that. Now, look, Crum saw some time last week, too. I hope it's not Crum. I honestly don't think he's ready. Now, if you're going to test whether he's ready, though, Zach, this is not a bad matchup to do it because the Chargers, as you guys will see here in a few minutes in the head-to-head, man, they're fierce across the board. The two areas that they are not ranked top 10, one of them, Zach, is sacks. They're not very productive rushing the passer. And as you mentioned before, Joey Bosa, he's been a DNP both practices this week. Not looking like he's going to be back for this game. So maybe they do end up rolling with the undrafted rookie. But if you're hedging, I would say Parrott.
Yeah, I forgot where if Parrott's undrafted or not, but I just feel a little more comfortable him protecting Bo Nix's front side. Thank you, Dale, already.
Well, plus, and he has a lot of NFL snaps, something Crum does not. We've got Dale DW96734, his vintage handle, checking in on Super Chat. Thank you, brother. Much love and respect. He says, I'm no GM, just a fan with two eyes. Bo looks like a QB with a focused mission. I couldn't be happier, especially seeing his Ferris Bueller event with Sean. Reminded me of Manning, Brady, and Breeze, to be honest. Loved his video, Broncos for Life. Yeah, and in case you missed it, of course, Sean Payton made that comment after the Raiders game, and then someone in the Bo Nix camp made up a nice little edit that kind of tied in the whole Ferris Bueller thing, which was cool. But, you know, that's just – look, we're just passing on the information, like, and thank you, D-Dub. Like Larry on Facebook saying that we're just feeding into anything just to talk about something. No wonder there's so much negativity in this group. I don't know what group you're talking about because, frankly, Larry, Broncos fans have had plenty to be negative about. There's been, for the last better part, Zach, of a decade, there's been, honestly, up until the Jets game is when I really started feeling it shaking loose, winning ugly at MetLife Stadium. Broncos fans, once again, kind of daring to hope. But up until that point, man, it was a posture of apathy and negativity across the board, no matter whether it was coming from us or anybody else. But I've seen that shift, Zach. I haven't seen negativity in the fan base of late. But it's interesting when an anonymous GM gives a quote like that to ESPN, Larry, you're going to bet your ass we're going to cover that because even if we disagree with it, it's information about the team from a credible outlet that we're going to analyze.
I was saying every time, because when we put things, and it happened to me on Twitter again today, Chad, if you write up a story like this and say it's anonymous GM and they make some negative claim, they start killing the messenger, like in Larry's case here. They start blaming us for either thinking that we said it, that we agree with it, or that we're perpetuating it. But if it's our jobs to pass that along, good or bad, and we have the head-to-head tonight. It's not the only topic we're going to discuss, but aside from Ferris Bueller, what else is there really to talk about?
Yeah, so easy. And D-Dub, really appreciate.
Yeah, thank you, Dale.
And this is what we agree. I mean, this is what we said earlier, too. You know, he's like, I'm no GM, just a fan with two eyes. Bo looks like a QB with a focused mission. And honestly, I couldn't be happier either. He's developing. And I think that 4 weeks, man, that he got to start his NFL career, obviously he didn't win them all, went 2-2. But, Zach, that was a refiner's fire. That was a crucible. Yeah. And I think it's already helping to shape him into something. Let's just say it's accelerating, I think, his development, which gives me a lot more optimism going into this game against the league's number one scoring defense.
Absolutely. Yeah, really quickly, I see Michaela dropped a bomb. I mean, if Bo can go against Seattle and Pittsburgh and the Jets, what's the Raiders defense? Like we saw last week, he had 3 total touchdowns. A lot of other Broncos quarterbacks in the past crapped their pants against Max Crosby. Max Crosby still got home, but Bo had a pretty clean game in the second half. So it's a much better situation. Thank you, Michaela.
Love you, Michaela. And that's right. We are your football priests. And 3 times a week, Zach and I are here to offer you the absolution and answers to your burning Broncos questions. And she's jumping in from the top rope, one of the first faces etched on the MHH Super Chat Superstar Mount Rushmore, saying, hi, priests. I missed you both.
How do we think Bo stacks up to Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels?
Thank you. See, you should see me, Michaela, trying to like deduce how my son is communicating with his friends and like with girls. You know, you got to keep an eye on these things. I'm like, my wife always gets there a lot faster than I do too. Maybe reading comprehension, even though I'm a big reader. I don't know. Syntax. It's about the syntax. But what's your answer for the Duchess on this, Zach?
Well, Jaden's having objectively a better season. He has a better supporting cast in Washington, but he has a higher completion percentage, a better EPA, a better quarterback rating, everything across the board pretty much compared to Bo Nix. So I can't even front there. With Caleb Williams, I was looking it up, and I'm pretty sure the completion percentage, speaking of that accuracy article, is about the same. Yeah, Caleb is 62.9, Bo is 61.8. Caleb has 5 touchdowns, 4 picks. Bo has 3 touchdowns, 4 picks. So I would say they're having about the same season. They both looked really bad out of the gates and have gotten better in recent weeks. But I'll say this again, Michaela, if you put Bo Nix on the offense and around the talent that Caleb Williams has in Chicago, I guarantee his stats would be much better. They are loaded out there, Chad.
No doubt. And it's coming out in the wash so far for the Commanders. They're 4-1 on the season. And the Bears are, just like the Broncos, 3-2. But I think for a guy who was the 12th pick in the draft, and as Zach mentioned, you know, he arrived on a team that is cap strapped. You saw all the things. We joked about it because there was much made of it that kind of went overboard in the offseason, Zach, about all the Broncos supporting cast, you know, da da da. But Bo Nix is finding a way to make hay, and he has one thing that neither of those two quarterbacks have had to face this year, and that is that string of defenses the first quarter of the season. And no worries, she jumps in again on Super Chat. Sorry, guys, I hate autocorrect. No worries. I'm the same. And I'm also that guy that, like, when there's – I'm sending a text and, like, oh, I missed, like, an autocorrect, and I send it, and then I'm still that guy that puts an asterisk, and then I put, like, the correct thing. It's like they're probably like – we know that's what you meant, numbnut, but thanks for being comprehensive. Anyway, no worries, Michaela. But that is something, Zach. It's going to be interesting to see how it shapes what remains of the season. But those two guys, they, as you said, objectively have better statistics right now. Haven't faced the same onslaught of opponents, though, that the Broncos have.
And we're going to get 2 more data points here, because Drake May is going to make his NFL debut this Sunday. Spencer Rattler is going to make his NFL debut this Sunday and probably face the Broncos next Thursday night, by the way. So that's going to be interesting to see how Bo Nix compares, but I really don't care about any other QB, Chad, but Bo Nix and the Broncos and how they develop this season.
And I'm happy with where he's at. I'm happy with what we've seen. D-Dub jumping in again. Thank you, brother. Much love and respect. Also, Mount Rushmore Super Chat superstar and a true OG. He says, if we make a trade before the deadline, what position would you like to see addressed? Tight end for me. We need a best friend for Bo. I think that would be one of the top ones. For me, it would be Zach, pass catcher. So it's like, okay, flip a coin. Do you want it to be perhaps a different kind of wide receiver than what the Broncos currently have, which is very kind of big body possession, X receiver laden, or maybe a pass catching tight end that we hoped Greg Dulcich was going to be this year, Zach?
Three that jump to mind. Two are out there in Baltimore, Isaiah Likely or Mark Andrews, whoever Baltimore feels more comfortable parting with. I would take either. Both offer different things. Likely's more of a pass catcher. Andrews is very well-rounded, but he's a little older, injury concerns. Kyle Pitts out there in Atlanta is still very tempting for me. He's been a disappointment as a pro. I don't know if Atlanta wants to deal him. He looked a little more involved last week with Kirk Cousins, but you need some sort of athletic dynamism. Nailed that one that time, Chad, at that position, because it's not cutting it right now with the Troutmans and the Dulciches of the world.
True. And a great question, Dale. And
thank you, Dale.
The trade deadline, by the way, is November 5th. So, you know, we're inching a little bit closer to that, and we will be monitoring that closely as we do get there. But Zach, to shift gears real quick so I can put a bow on this injury report thing here. The Chargers, some of the other names, all right, Joe Alt was a full participant in Thursday's practice, so he's going to be a go, the offensive tackle. Rashawn Slater, though, with a pec, limited Wednesday, limited today. But here's the key one, right? What's up with Justin Herbert? So Justin Herbert suffered that ankle injury. I think it was week two. He's basically had an ankle brace on every game since, and even coming out of the bye, the time off, he was seen practicing this week, Zach, with the ankle. What do you expect to happen with Herbert? I mean, he's trending obviously to play. He hasn't missed a start yet, but what do you expect to see from him this Sunday?
Yeah, I mentioned this, I think, on the gut or maybe Monday, but I'm not the biggest Herbert fan, admittedly. He's a very tough player, Chad. I'll give him credit for that. He fights through everything. He has a high ankle sprain. He can barely move, and he's out there each and every week taking hit after hit from that battered offensive line. He's going to play Sunday, and it's not the Chargers offense that I'm really concerned with. Again, the Broncos have historically done well against Herbert. They have a strong running game, yeah, but his best receiver is a rookie, Ladd McConkey. So I more put this game on the Broncos offense, like usual, versus the opposing defense.
Well said. Okay. I'm just taking a quick look here at the chat from the Ronk saying A.T. Perry needed to get used to the Sean Payton offense. Needs to. Sean Payton didn't coach Perry with the Saints, but he likes former Saints players. That was one of the flurry transactions the Broncos made this week. Zach, you wrote it up.
It's a second-year player the Saints drafted, so the Ronk's right. He didn't play with Sean Payton, but he had 12 catches for the Saints last season. Four of them went for touchdowns. 10 went for first downs. He averaged, I think, 20.5 yards per catch. 6'3 or 6'4, 205, runs a sub-4.4. He can do something. He has some juice there, and I don't know how soon it's going to take for him to get acclimated, if he can leap past the others on the depth chart, but he's a guy to keep an eye on, Ronk, for sure.
Okay, let's grab the Duchess with her third super chat of the night before we get to the head-to-heads. She says, are we able to trade for a true tight end? What can we offer for Andrews? You got her hopes up there, Zach. We need weapons, she says.
I don't even know if, you know, it takes two to tango, Michaela. If Baltimore wants to trade him, he's still a safety blanket for Lamar Jackson. I'm looking up his contract, though, just to see how much it would cost Denver to acquire him. I'd be all for it because you get an inline blocker, you get a pass catcher. Four-year, $56 million deal he signed in 2021. And spot track would load. I can see his cap number. $16 million for this year and $16 million next year. Does Sean Payton invest $16 million in that position when historically, aside from Jimmy Graham, he's never had a true superstar? He's kind of cobbled together, you know, duct tape and Band-Aids. I'd like him, although he's only 28. He'll be 29 next year. If they want to swing it, and maybe they restructure, eat some of the money, I'd be all for Mark Andrews in this offense.
So our sister site on SI, the Baltimore Ravens site, so Baltimore Ravens on SI, they wrote this up. So this is Baltimore Ravens on SI citing Indianapolis Colts A to Z Sports, suggesting the Colts could make a call to the Ravens or should make a call about a potential trade for Andrews. So this is the Colts, right? Indianapolis Colts. But still, here's what was written, quote, the Colts should test the waters and call the Ravens about a trade for Andrews. With him trying to return from his injury, there's no guarantee he will ever return to the version of him that put up career numbers in 2021 with nearly 1,400 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. The longer the Ravens don't use Andrews, the less they'd be able to demand in a potential trade. He has a $17 million basically cap hit for this year and next, which isn't a small number by any means, and then goes on to assert why the Colts would make sense. But it's a topic. It's something being floated out there. Zach, as much as I would love to see that kind of a talent hit Denver and help Bo Nix, I don't see the Broncos peeling off that kind of a budget. Being in a position where they can afford to consume that much of their salary cap on a tight end. But I've been wrong before. We all know how the NFL salary cap voodoo can make liars and cold, freezing cold takers out of all of us.
Sean Payton would sooner probably trade for Taysom Hill, who he did coach in New Orleans, than Mark Andrews. I'd like to have Andrews, Michaela. Again, I don't know if Baltimore wants to trade him. I don't know if Denver wants to part ways with draft capital or the money, as Chad talked about. So we'll see as the deadline gets closer.
All right, we got Tucson Phil checking in. What's up, brother, on Facebook? Good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Is Dulcich going to play this week? Are we gearing up to trade him? Hashtag Buckham, Broncos for life, MHH for life. That's a really good question. So in case you guys missed it, Sunday against the Raiders, Greg Dulcich was officially a healthy scratch. And, you know, Zach, the Broncos didn't suffer for it, right? Like it was a little disjointed, obviously, in the first half. But when it started going gangbusters in the second, that's a lot of evidence to the shot callers that Greg Dulcich, not only is he not needed, but hey, was he part of what was maybe holding us back, etc.? I don't know, though, because I was frankly stunned he was a healthy scratch last week. So I think I'll say this, Phil, if he is, I don't know if he's going to be a healthy scratch this week or not, but if he is, I would say that's a pretty good indication that he's not long for the Broncos, whether that's via trade or even an outright release.
Remember Randy Gregory and Frank Clark when the Broncos got rid of them? Instantly, they started playing better. It's addition by subtraction, and I feel that way for Greg Dulcich. But in terms of trade value, what are you going to trade for Greg Dulcich if you're one of the other teams? Like a conditional 2040 seventh round pick? He doesn't have any value, Chad. That's why he's a healthy inactive to begin with. So just move on, maybe cut him in the offseason, whatever, keep him on the roster. I'd rather Lucas Kroll get more looks, or maybe even call up Donald Parham from the practice squad.
Can he play guitar? Because if he can play guitar, he could at least entertain the team as a poor man's Weird Al Yankovic.
He's got the hair.
He could do it. He could pull it off. But it really is a bummer storyline for the Broncos because we all had real high hopes for the former third-round pick and famous UCLA walk-on. If we could just stay healthy, you know, and that's what you're saying too about Baron Brown. If we could just stay healthy. Well, one of those two guys so far has managed it. Dulcich has stayed healthy, but his inability to advance and develop as a blocker has rendered him basically useless to a team that still, Zach, needs to rely very heavily on these guys right here, Lucas Kroll, Adam Trautman, and what's the other kid, 45, what's his name? Nate Adkins. Being able to help block and not telegraph to the opposing team. Oh, Dulcich is on the field. 95% chance it's going to be a pass.
I guarantee if we went back like 6 years to the podcast archives, we have this same discussion about Jake Butt. Should the Broncos trade him? What are they going to do? And this and that. And he didn't ever pan out and the Broncos end up just moving on. That's the same outcome, the same finality with Greg Dulcich. It's sad, but that's the NFL.
Pog LLC. I completely erased the name Randy Gregory from my mind. Felt like a blast from the past. All right, let's grab this one more from Dale. Then we'll do the head to head. And thank you, bro. Third super chat of the night. Very generous, bro. Thank you, buddy. He says, shout out to Michaela. She's awesome.
Yes, she is.
I watched the Jets tape. Dulcich was literally responsible for us missing some big plays. I'm bummed, but the man's blocking is beyond horrendous. It was the right move last week, in my opinion. It would seem so. I mean, that offense, I would argue, Zach, even as good as things looked for the majority of that Tampa game, the second half against the Raiders, in my opinion, was the best this Broncos offense has looked all season.
And I think Dale's right, and I'm going to just reference the Steelers game, which I was in attendance for, as were you, Chad, after the meet and greet. And every time he was on the field, he was causing a negative outcome by dropping a pass or by blowing a block. When you're a tight end, you have two main responsibilities, and Greg Dulcich can't do either of them. On top of that, Chad, he can't even stay healthy. So just cut your losses and move on. You know, I saw Randy Peel said, oh, Jake Butt had some talent, and he couldn't stay healthy. Greg Dulcich has talent too, but what's the good of it when you can't get on the field?
Yeah. Jake Butt, though, was a much more hard-nosed physical player. Was he, like, great next-level blocker? No, didn't have enough time on task, but he was a much more, put it this way, willing blocker, even with his limited live bullet experience, thanks to the injury bug. But, Dale, thank you, brother. Much love and respect. Okay, let's turn to, we're at about 30 minutes. And by the way, guys, great having each and every one of you with us. If you're on YouTube right now, you got about 150 live with us currently on YouTube. Please hit the like button. Same if you're on Facebook, helps us out tremendously. And I'd rather we're trying to get into a better habit of reminding our great community to how they can help us earlier in the show, not just waiting till the end. So please, guys, make sure you like the video. Now, with that said, let's take a look at the head-to-head here. Okay, so first matchup between it's the first head-to-head of Peyton versus Harbaugh in the AFC West. So it's going to be interesting to see. You've got the 3-2 Broncos currently in second place in the AFC West, and the 2-2 coming off a bye, Chargers. And look, even though they had that bye week, Zach, they have a unit and a half. They have like one, two. I mean, I'm not going to sit and count them, but it's like 15, 16 guys listed on their injury report. They're banged up. So let's see here. As you guys know, green signifies top 10. Okay. Red, bottom 10. And if it's black, it's somewhere in the middle. So starting with the general stuff, the turnover margin, the Broncos have finally, Zach, climbed into the plus territory. And that comes as a result of having, what was it, 3 takeaways against the Raiders. Very nice to see. The Chargers, though, plus 5. All right. So they're the third best in the NFL in turnover margin, which actually makes it somewhat surprising that they're 2-2, especially with that defense. Time of possession, the Chargers do a little bit better in this department. They're exactly ranked 15th. The Broncos are 19th. And then when we look at these offenses, a lot of similarities in terms of their identities, kind of how things are playing out. The Broncos net yards per game, they're ranked 28th, whereas the Chargers are 29th. Then you have points per game, the Broncos 19.2, that's 22nd tied, whereas the Chargers are giving you 17, that's good for 28th. So that's a bottom 10 ranking. You look across the board where they seem to be having some success as an offense, the Chargers is on the ground, and that's a hallmark traditionally of a Jim Harbaugh coach team. They're real disciplined. They're plus on the turnover differential. They run the ball. They're ranked 9th in net rushing, averaging just under 130 yards per game. They don't turn it over, and Justin Herbert traditionally pretty stingy with the ball. He's only been picked off once. They got one lost fumble, 2 giveaways only, Zach, on the season through 4 games, which is pretty impressive. That ties him for first. Meanwhile, they have allowed 9 sacks. That's bottom 10 ranking. So Herbert is fair game. And this is a Broncos defense that we'll get into here in a minute. But we already know blitz happy. They're one of the highest ranked in sacks. They're going to test that ankle and the mobility of Justin Herbert. But, Zach, the other thing here, they're kind of middle of the pack, the Chargers, on third down, but they're bottom 10 in the red zone. So they're struggling there. Meanwhile, the Broncos have moderately improved in some of these statistical areas, still missing a straight green ranking, no top 10 rankings on offense anywhere. But this is the one, these two at the bottom, Zach, are honestly the two that still trouble me the most. The Broncos are ranked 31st in third down percentage. They're not even quite converting 1 in 4 red zone trips into touchdowns. Or pardon me, third downs into first downs. And then in the red zone, they're tied for 26th. Those are two areas, Zach, that really have to improve in order for this team to realize its potential. But your thoughts here.
That's why I love podcasting with you, partner, because we always share the same thought in the end. You know, that's what I was going to say. The only thing I'm really kind of even panicking about a little bit are the last two numbers there. Got to be better on third down, staying on the field. Got to be better on in the red zone, punching it in and getting off the field with a touchdown. But with the passing numbers and some of the other things like yards per play, last year we had that defensive outlier with the Miami game. I'm going to go ahead and say there's an offensive outlier this season with the Jets game in the rain where Bo Nix had -7 yards at the half, I think 60 yards overall. So that's impacting this, and we'll see how that plays out. On the Chargers side, they are a really good rushing offense. J.K. Dobbins is having like a career resurgence there with Jim Harbaugh. But you went over it already. The tackles are both banged up. Herbert's banged up. His best receiver is a rookie slot guy, McConkey. Quentin Johnston is kind of a draft bust. I'm not too worried about the Denver defense. It's the offense and staying on the field and capitalizing in the red zone that troubles me a little bit.
I'm seeing another discrepancy here. Look at this. The Broncos have two fewer sacks allowed, and it shows them tied 28th. Whereas, look, see, nine sacks allowed, tied for 25th. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense. But
look at all that green. Wow.
Let's look at these defenses. I mean, if you're this is what I'm telling you. This is what, it's going to be a rock fight, guys. You've got two offenses who have struggled to really put it all together for a full four quarters, and two of the best defenses in the NFL. I mean, the Broncos, green across the board. Every single major defensive statistical category, the Broncos are top 10 ranked.
I don't think we ever seen that before.
I don't know, man. It's
I can't recall even last season.
I agree. And look, it's almost the same for the Chargers, minus sacks and third down. So they're struggling to get teams off the field on third down. They're ranked 20th. And they only have 11 sacks, which ties them for 19th in the NFL. But look at this. I mean, scoring, you're looking at for the Chargers, the first-ranked scoring defense, 12.5 points they're allowing per game against an offense that's allowing or that's only scoring 17, okay? Then you look at the Broncos from points per game. They're second. They're tied for second, allowing 14.6. So this, to me, Zach, this is stacking up like similar scoreboard of the Jets game. Honestly, this is like a 13-10 or a 10-9 or a, you know, 15-12 type of an affair to me. Like both teams really good in the red zone defensively. Broncos smother you on third down. They are also going to get after you. This game, I'll tell you right now, and I'll probably elucidate on this a little bit more in my prediction on the roundtable tomorrow, which, by the way, it was nice to finally get on the scoreboard last week with regard to the roundtable. But this game is going to come down to a timely turnover or two. Whichever team coughs it up, that's the team that's going to lose this game.
Yeah, I was going to say I could see it being like a week two, you know, just defensive sloppy, just dogfight, 13-6, whatever the final score of that game was. It's going to come down to, I mean, we already talked about it, Chad. The stat of the day here is third down. You have a Chargers defense that has trouble getting off the field. You have a Broncos offense that has trouble staying on the field. Whoever has more success, I think, is going to have more points. And as we know, whoever has more points is going to win the ballgame.
Really interesting. If you like defensive football, this is going to be a game for you. All right, let's just take a quick look at special teams. Punting is still top 10, Zach. I mean, the net punting, that is. All right. Gross punting, not so much. Net punting, right up there. So you got good coverage units. Punt return average, last week we finally saw some movement there. Your boy Marvin Mims looking good there. Field goal percentage, we're still top 10 are the Broncos. Kickoff, we're ranked 5th. kind of middle of the pack to not so good. Meanwhile, Zach, for the Chargers, and then just real quick, looking at penalties, the Chargers, as again, is the hallmark of a Jim Harbaugh team. Only 26 penalties, which ranks them eighth. Broncos have 36, which kind of puts them in the middle of the pack. But nobody does better than the Broncos at getting the opponent to lapse. So, you know, 45 opponent penalties committed is tied for the very, very most in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Chargers, it's the exact opposite. They have a hard time getting their opponent to lapse. So, anyway, your thoughts here.
You can call me a homer if you want. The Broncos should have way less than 36 penalties, Chad. The week two game, there's been a couple other instances where they've been, the refs have been just flag happy. A little ridiculous, but definitely. What are you going to do?
Definitely. But there you go, guys. There's your head-to-head for the Broncos-Chargers first meeting of this particular season. Cody Dubb jumping in on Super Chat. Good to see you, big dog. Thank you. He says, Hopkins' contract is affordable. Maybe even Woods, Zach.
Robert Woods, no thanks. Just a guy getting older, injury prone. I'd rather see. Again, it's the same blanket answer I usually give. I'd rather see what the Broncos. You ever see The Simpsons when Bart say the line and he says the line? It's like, I'd rather see what the Broncos have on their roster with their own players. I mentioned Vele. Franklin should have had a touchdown. I want to see more of Marvin Mims. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, I think he's a little washed, unfortunately, Chad. Great player in his prime, but I don't see him ever duplicating that. So, again, go forward with the talent you already have, Cody.
Yeah, he's 32. He's in his age 32 season. So, last year, for what it's worth, he only appeared in four total – or, pardon me, this year, he's appeared in all four games, two starts. Last year, though, Zach, 16 starts. Out of 17 games, barely got over 1,000 yards, though, seven touchdowns. But what he offers you, what he would offer you anyway, as a Broncos squad, doesn't really differ much from what they already have at this stage in his career. Like Zach said, he was one of the greats for 2-3 years there, that window of time. It was hard to point to a better NFL receiver. But, yeah, he's borderline washed, as my grandpa would call it. All right, guys, this is your last call. Right. And that is one thing, Mr. Producer, thanks for bringing this up. One thing to keep in mind on the sample size, when we look at head-to-heads, one less game. The Chargers had a very early bye, a week five bye. So that does slightly, this early in the season, skew the numbers. But I think there's enough sample size there that still, I don't think it really detracts from anything, any of the main implications, takeaways. That we gleaned tonight. Okay, guys. Did anyone else have the show freeze? I didn't notice a freeze. Did you notice anything, Scott? I don't know. Let us know, guys, if you saw that, because that'd be news to us. But yeah, Todd, Herbert is hurt. Justin Herbert is dealing with an ankle. So suffered in week 2. High ankle. Those things nag and they linger. Yeah. He's got a brace on it. But guys...
He's been getting the hell beat out of him, too, behind that O-line.
Exactly. It's not a good recipe. Like, Harbaugh, that's why they're just staying so damn stubbornly diligent on the run game. Yeah. They don't have a choice, dude. Like, they're – even if they could, they're like – even if – and Justin Herbert is one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. He's a guy you could drop back 40 times a game and just let him go. Not with this O-line, though. Not with this O-line. Can't do it. We got – Fat Sertan with a PH jumping in on Super Chat. Thank you, buddy. Says, just wanted to say, love you guys. Love you too, big dog. My first ever game was this last game in Denver near the front rows, right by Pat when he ran it back. That's awesome. 100 yards.
That's
Broncos
awesome.
Country. Dude, what a game. If that was your first game, bro, you got to see that uniform combination against a classic divisional rival. Got to see the Broncos not just win and snap the streak over the Raiders, but like romp, right? They straight squashed them under their heel like a bug. And that's why it's like Max Crosby, they're trying to make all that hay over him saying, talking a little trash on a hot mic to Bo Nix during a game. It's like, first of all, it wasn't that like cool what he said. Second of all, Bo Nix trucked you, dude. You got two sacks. Crosby always gets his, so I tip my cap to him. Against the Broncos, Zach, that dude always gets his. But this time, finally, Broncos proved that he who laughs last laughs best.
Yeah, you had a good write-up about the Bo Nix Crosby thing. He's more mature than I am. If I was him, I'd say scoreboard. Who won the game? You know, who has the better record? Who's the better team? But Fat Surtain, that is awesome. And you saw it in front of alumni as well. One cool thing was that Champ Bailey and PS2 had a ceremonial jersey swap after the game. So in the throwbacks and everything, awesome experience. I'm happy for you, man.
Steve, we'll grab this from Steve, and then we'll probably get started on dipping on out of here. How concerned are you guys with the Chargers pass rush? Honestly, with Joey Bosa still out, I'm not that – it's looking that way anyway. It's not official yet, but I'm not too worried about it. The only thing, Zach, that gives me some pause is this is the week the Broncos really have some O-line instability with their own bout with the injury bug. So that's the only thing that gives me a little pause, because Khalil Mack is still Khalil Mack, and, you know, this is a divisional game. All bets are off. But for the most part, there's a reason why, you know, what we say they were there on defense, sacks, they've got 11 this season. That ties them for 19th.
It's exactly what I was going to say. I'm not concerned with Bo Nix in this game. I'm not necessarily concerned with the Chargers being too talented. It's the Broncos O-line and the injuries at center. Even Garrett Bowles, Chad, was it would beat up a little bit in week five. He's going to play, but then you have Palcho out for this game. So I'm more worried about the O-line, but I'm not quaking in my boots, so to speak.
This is a game, the Broncos O-line and that run game, they got to bring their hard hats, baby. Yeah. This is just one of those games. The Ronk checking in again to say, great show tonight, Chad and Zach on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Go Bo Broncos. Love you, brother. Cody Dub jumping in to say, Riley Moss keeps playing like he is. That's my next jersey. Yeah, dude. So far, so good. Love seeing that from Riley Moss. Broncos have arguably the best cornerback trio in the NFL. Sholo, man. What's up, dude? Thank you.
Thank you.
Minter had Kelsey and Mahomes surprised at the type of blitzes the Chargers ran without Bosa, Zach.
Yeah, they have a pretty good defensive coordinator working under Harbaugh. Has some creative blitz packages and has been kind of effective without Bosa in the lineup. But again, if the Broncos O-line can just maybe have some help on the right side and the rest play up to par, Bo Nix gets rid of the ball fast, and God willing, they get the running game going, they can negate whatever the Chargers have. Sholo, man.
It's going to be really fun to see how it all shakes out. But don't leave quite yet, guys. A couple messages for you, then we're going to dip.
Another tremendous installment, as always, always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle. Chad at Chad and Jensen. Myself at Kelberman NFL. And Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. Be sure to drop us a like on Facebook if you haven't already, at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. If you want some merch like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
That's right. And also, The Ronk, some last-minute Facebook stars. Thank you, brother. Love you, big dog. It all adds up, and it all means the world to us. I hope you know that. A Mile High salute and a special shout-out to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters tonight helping us keep the lights on. The Papa Bear, David McElrath, The Ronk, D-Dub multiple times, Michaela multiple times, Phil McLaughlin down in Tucson, Cody Dub, Fat Surtain, and then Sholo, man, much love and respect, guys. Can't wait to see you for the gut reaction on Sunday. Have a great start to your weekend, and look forward to seeing you.
We'll see you Sunday night. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
at Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.